Canto 3, Chapter 16, Chaim Vijay, Cursed by the Sages, Text Number 32. Rastavadisha Bhagavan
Rastavadisha Bhagavan
Vimanashini Bhushanam
Vimanashini Bhushanam
Sarvati. Translation: after thus speaking, at the door of Vaikuntha, the Lord returned to his abode, where there are many celestial airplanes and all surpassing wealth and splendor. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is clear from this verse that all the incidents took place at the entrance of Vaikuntha Loka. In other words, the sages were not actually within Vaikuntha Loka, but were at the gate. It could be asked, how could they return to the material world if they entered Vaikuntha Loka? But factually, they did not enter, and therefore they returned. There are many similar incidents where great yogis and brahmanas, by dint of their yoga practice, have gone from this material world to Vaikuntha Loka, but they were not meant to stay there. They came back. It is also confirmed here that the Lord was surrounded by many Vaikuntha airplanes. Vaikuntha Loka is described here as having splendid opulence far surpassing the splendor of this material world. All other living creatures, including the demigods, are born of Brahma. And Brahma is born of Lord Vishnu. Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter of Ahamsarasa Prabhupada, Lord Vishnu is the origin of all manifestations in the material world. Those who know that Lord Vishnu is the origin of everything and who are conversant with the process of creation and who understand that Vishnu or Krishna is the most worshipable object of all living entities engage themselves in Vishnu worship as Vaishnavas. The Vedic hymns also confirm this. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. The goal of life is to understand Vishnu. The Bhagavatam also confirms this elsewhere. Foolish people, not knowing that Vishnu is the supreme worshipable object, create so many worshipable objects in this material world and therefore they fall down. So just read the verse again. After thus speaking, at the door of Vaikuntha, the Lord returned to his abode, where there are many celestial airplanes and all surpassing wealth and splendor. So, there are so many different in this pastime of the Lord, and the Lord performs pastimes. He reveals practically unlimited spiritual realizations about the Lord, about bhakti, about the bhaktas. Because these three, the Lord, bhakti or devotional service, and the bhaktas comprise actually the spiritual reality. So, but we will try and concentrate upon the essential statement of the of this particular text, and especially Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse, of course, carries on from the previous two verses, which contain, you know, quite a lot of information, and there it was described there, and it's an important point which connects to that verse, that the process of bhakti is so powerful that it can even purify one not only of practically all the sins that is possible to commit, There's no sin that's, that you can commit which is not possible to be purified by bhakti. But the sin of offence to a brahmana, especially a Vaishnava, cannot be counteracted by any other process, and yet that can be counteracted by bhakti. So, you know, this section of the Bhagavatam is helping us to have faith both in Krishna and the process of bhakti. That is what Krishna is, this pastime is pointing us in that direction. On the point of having faith in Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, in this purport today, the second part of the purport describes the glories of Krishna, which is accepted by all the Vedas, and one who understands those glories essentially understands these facts, that Vishnu, who, as Krishna describes, is his expansion. Krishna describes that in the Bhagavad Gita. The Vishnu is the origin of all manifestations in the material world. He is the origin of everything. So the whole process of creation is dependent upon Lord Vishnu. And a further understanding is that amongst all living entities, including all the demigods, he is the most worshipable object. And we see that as a very simple explanation of this, Lord Brahma, from Lord Brahma, all the demigods are born, and yet Brahma himself is born from Vishnu, and therefore Vishnu is supreme. In the Rajasi Yajna, this was actually practically demonstrated when Maharaj Yudhisthira, who wanted the world to get a practical understanding of this, he arranged the Rajasi Yajna, and he invited all the demigods, all the principal demigods of the universe, and all the greatest sages of the universe. And in there, when they perform a Rajasuya Yajna, the first activity, Agra Puja, is where the most worshipable personality is selected to be worshipped as the principal personality presiding over that ceremony. And in the presence of all the demigods of the universe, or the principal demigods and all the greatest sages, Krishna was unanimously elected as the Supreme Person. And no one rejected that. None of the demigods, none of the sages. One person did not accept that. That was Sushupal. And it was a very ironic speech because, you know, he stood up and said, time is the most supreme. He certainly didn't want to give credit to Krishna or anyone else. Time is supreme, because here we see this young boy, Sahadev, is speaking all this nonsense, and all these sages and demigods are completely bewildered. How, you know, formidable is time that no one can counteract it, even when death is approaching, no one can counteract it. Of course, in his foolishness, he didn't see that actually time is actually an age. Krishna himself, and that actually he was about to be killed by time for his foolishness. So, anyway, so that was practically demonstrated. So when Krishna was omnipresent, you know, one may challenge or try to interpret the Sanskrit words of the scriptures, but actually when Krishna was present, this manifested. See, so that cannot be challenged. So give up your word jugglery, and here's the practical proof. So therefore, now, you know, at the beginning of that chapter, the killing of Sisipal, Yudhishthira Maharaj gives these very beautiful prayers. And of course, we follow such personalities like Yudhishthira Maharaj. So we'll come to that point as well. Because although Sisipal attained perfection by thinking of Krishna in a numerical way, we don't follow Sisipal. We follow Yudhishthira. We'll get to that. Here's Yudhishthira's mentality. He was the killing of Jarasandha. Yudhishthira began to praise Krishna, and he described that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that's very difficult to understand, because Yudhishthira Maharaj said that all the demigods, so this is at the very beginning of the Jagya, he said all the demigods in the universe, if you give them an order, they gladly take that order on their head. All the demigods, all the sages, and they take that order as their worshipable, mission in life, to execute the order of Krishna. So he is the Supreme Person of Godhead. He said, but personalities such as myself, who think we are rulers and kings and powerful personalities, we're actually fit to be punished by you. Because actually, as soon as we think that we're the master in any way, we're taking Krishna's position and we're fit to be punished. So that's the mentality of a devotee, completely opposite to Sisipal. See, but what's bewildering is that although that is your position, you appear in this world and you are accepting our orders as your life and soul. So Krishna is engaged in, doing errands for Yudhishthira and for Arjuna, like this. So he said, you act like an ordinary person accepting our orders, so it's very difficult for people to understand, because they feel that somehow or another, while you're in the material world, you're really affected by the material world exactly like everyone else. So he gave this example that when the sun is in the sky, just like the other day we had 41 degrees in Melbourne, and the next day we had 17 and 19 degrees. So one bad thing, on Wednesday the sun was very hot, and on Thursday the sun was very cold. Actually the sun was the same temperature. It didn't change at all. From the sun's position, nothing changed. It was actually from our position that we felt the difference, because of our circumstances. So Krishna, when he appears in the material world, he's always the Supreme Person of Godhead, he's always transcendental, he's always completely unaffected. But it appears that he's affected. So we should not think, really cold day, boy, the sun's having some problems keeping its heat. Or, like that. So, Krishna's position is like that. So, this was explained very nicely by Maharaj Yudhishthira. And this section of the Bhagavatam also helps us to understand that point, that because Krishna is absolute, that any way you come into contact with him, you are going to be purified. So, just like fire, which is a more localized aspect of the energy of the sun. Whatever your relationship with fire, you may hate fire, you may love fire, you may be indifferent to fire, but if you stand near fire, you're going to get warm. So Krishna's position is absolute. He remains the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though, because of his human-like pastimes, he appears to be an ordinary human being affected by all the different things that we're affected by as well. People to this day, therefore, criticize Krishna and don't take notice of the Bhagavad Gita because they think, oh, you know, he's a rascal, he incited Arjuna, you know, in the battle of Kurukshetra to fight so they could get the kingdom and so many different things, and, you know, he did so many different nonsense things like this. So they criticize, and he danced with the gopis, and, you know, they criticize him in so many ways. But actually, his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has no material qualities, is his eternal position. And to prove that, even Sisipal and personalities like that who approach the Lord in an inimical way just because they thought of him, they were also attained the spiritual world. That shows that Krishna's position is not dependent at all upon any material factors. That he is always the Supreme Lord, and any way that someone contacts the Supreme Lord, one benefits. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that to Arjuna, I'll give you the most confidential instruction of the Gita. So many things I've said, but the essence, what I really want to say to you is always think of me. You know, if you always think of me, worship me, bow down to me, not anyone else. Offer homage unto me. If you do that, you'll come to me. These pastimes give us faith that yes, if Putana, Agasura, Sisipal, if they're thinking of Krishna in such a way and they attained a spiritual salvation, what if I actually take up Krishna's instruction where he says that if I preach Krishna consciousness, the Bhagavad Gita, that person is the most dear to me and there will never be anyone more dear to me than that person. What if I take up that instruction? So, therefore, the devotees, you know, these pastimes give us great faith in Krishna and faith in the process of bhakti. Now, when it comes to bhakti, again, one should not misunderstand the purpose of, you know, statements such as in yesterday's purport, which is connected to today's purport, that, you know, even by, as it describes here, that by thinking of Krishna, one can be free. It says in the material planets, there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a Brahmana or Vaishnava is the most sinful. Top of the list. Here it is clearly stated that one can overcome even that grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu, not even favourably, but in anger. So, one should be very careful not to take that, oh, so it doesn't really matter, you know, how I behave as a devotee towards other devotees, because I think Krishna and, you know, bhakti is so powerful that, you know, I'll just get the same result. That's not actually verified. In today's verse, we see that the four Kumaras, who were also guilty of aparad in this, you know, they actually treated the they cursed, you know, the residents of the spiritual world. They become angry at that, and you know, In Vishwanath Chakravartita's commentary, he describes that as a result of that aparadha, by seeing Krishna, by associating with Krishna, they were elevated from the impersonalist to the platform of Prema Bhakti, Badinor and Ribbons, and Darshan. And they were checked at that point. Their ability to elevate in Prema Bhakti beyond that was checked by the aparadha. So, what we actually see in the Bhagavatam is that for every even minute, subtle difference in progression or degression in a living entity's consciousness, that is reciprocally reciprocated by Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So, therefore, we see here that the incident, first of all, with Sisipal, we should understand, first of all, to be a unique situation. In the first place, they actually came to the material world because they, it's described that sometimes Krishna likes to enjoy fighting propensity, in a sporting way. No ordinary person can, we all like to wrestle. We used to do that a lot in the early days, for men you used to always wrestling, you get out in the courtyard, wrestling, rolling around on the ground. You don't see it much now, but it's a nice Vaishnava. We used to go to the farms and, we'd sort of swing in, have the swings into the river, and then, we'd have some bashab, and then we'd sit around and talk a bit, and then have some wrestling matches, and we'd all watch and clap, and then we'd go and have another swim. And it's natural, it's playful. It's good. But Krishna has that, it's friendly. That's why we've got it, because he's got that tendency. But he, there's no ordinary person can fight with God. Sometimes with the really big, big demons in this world, Krishna, out of his compassion, because he also likes to reveal to the other living entities how compassionate he is. That, don't you worry, if you're taking shelter of me, don't you worry that I won't give you compassion. And you're struggling and there's some difficulty. Even these demons, I'm compassionate to everyone because they're all related to me as a spirit. So sometimes he comes and he shows compassion and he kills them out of his causeless mercy and they get liberation. But if there's no suitable big, big, big demon, sometimes his devotees come. And Jaya and Vijaya, they perceive this and they actually put in a request of submission and triplicate. But they actually wanted, out of their love for the Lord, to facilitate that desire. And therefore, the Lord made that arrangement by Kunti and they came to the material world. Their guaranteed going back to Godhead after three lives was guaranteed. That's, there's a very individual case here. So, for instance, we see here, let's see if I find this quote. There are different quotes here, but one should not mistake. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.26 purport. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Sisipal. Just says straight out. Don't make that mistake. The injunction, we follow Rupa Goswami, Yudhisthira, not Shishupala, injunction of Rupa Goswami, anukulyasya grahanam pratikulyasya vajanam, one should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Person of Godhead, he is punished. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably, otherwise he must be punished at least for one life to be purified. At least for one life. One should not try to be... These are the various Vedic injunctions. Generally, as Krishna says, people who act enviously, they're cast into difficult circumstances. Says here, at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada says the conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service for one's own benefit. One should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Sisipal. This is not the way to achieve success. So very, very clear. Very clear. We see repeatedly throughout the scriptures here in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 15, Srila Prabhupada says, Kamsa and Sisipal attained the abode, the absolute truth, but they were not allowed to enter into Goloka Vrindavan abode. Impersonalists and the enemies of the Lord are, because of attraction to God, allowed to enter into his kingdom, but they are not allowed to enter into the Vaikuntha planets or the Goloka Vrindavan planet of the Supreme Lord. To enter the kingdom and enter the king's palace are not the same thing. And this is what happened even to the four Kumaras, what to speak of the demons. And what to speak of demons, even the four Kumaras, they were allowed to go to the entrance and not into the palace. Let's speak of others. Here in a purport to Canto 7, chapter 1, text number 32, Srila Prabhupada describes, the demons, and he throws the Mayavadis amongst that lot. He says, the only business of the Mayavadis atheists is to make Krishna formless, and consequently, because of this severe offence at the lotus feet of Krishna, they cannot expect salvation. Of course, they're also thinking of Krishna. They're always preaching against Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says in this connection, except for Sisipal, those who go against the regulative principles cannot attain salvation and are surely destined for hellish life. Except for Sisipal. So one may think, Sisipal did it, I'll do it as well. The regulative principle is that one must always think of Krishna whether as a friend or as an enemy. So, the example of Sisipal is showing us that Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. It gives us faith in bhakti, but it is certainly not encouraging Vaishnava apparatus. And it is not encouraging Vaishnava apparatus to be counteracted by chanting Hare Krishna either. What are you going to ask at this point? Because we've said a lot. If there's any questions or comments, further comments, just about some of these things. Yeah.
You mentioned about the because of the offence of the Kumaras, they cannot enter into the dust.
Well, we have an eternal rasa of Krishna, it is possible by the opportunity given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to actually go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given that, regardless of other things, he's given that opportunity. Generally, people don't change their rasa, but that opportunity to serve Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan is being given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So again, apart from the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, those things don't generally happen. So Krishna appears once in the day of Brahma. So that opportunity given by Krishna to attract people back to Goloka Vrindavan is very, very rare, once in a day of Brahma. You know, that's 1,000 cycles of the four yugas. Kali Yuga itself is 432,000 years, and Dwapara Yuga twice that, Treta Yuga three, and Satya Yuga four times that. And that's one Divya Yuga. Manu lives for 71 cycles of the four yugas. There are 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. Brahma's night is the same. 1,000 cycles of the four yugas. So then, you know, once in the day of Brahma, and then after Brahma's night, then in the next day, about halfway through the day, that's actually 24 hours, Krishna appears. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his appearance is always just after Krishna. He doesn't come after Vamadeva, he doesn't come after Nishan, he comes just after Krishna. But he doesn't come every time Krishna comes. He comes every so often. So that opportunity is, you know, a very rare opportunity. And then, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he's there, and, you know, there's the, you know, many people will come to Krishna consciousness, many people will come to this temple, many people will come to the temples all over the world. But not all of them are going back to Goloka Vrindavan. And many, if they attain salvation, they may go back to Vaikuntha. See, because for every particular aspect of consciousness which is directed towards Krishna or not, you know, one is Krishna reciprocates. So, for instance, I'll describe here, there's this in Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 20, you probably remember this, and Brahmacharya's with it, you know, crystal clear memory. It says that, now, the translation was, certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. So, now, here again is the absolute nature of Krishna. He says he appears for two reasons: to deliver the faithful and to annihilate the miscreants. But because he's absolute, his two different kinds of actions, although apparently different, are ultimately one and the same. Absolute means that you're not getting one result from something, another result from something else. You're getting the same absolute result. So he does anything, and everyone always attains transcendental salvation, you know, by that association. There's no difference. So he gives the example. His annihilation of a person like Sisipal is as auspicious as his actions for his protection of the faithful. All the warriors who fought against Arjuna but were able to see the lotus face of the Lord on the battlefront achieve the abode of the Lord exactly as the devotee, as the devotees of the Lord do. When the warriors from the other side of the battlefield saw Lord Krishna at the front, they appreciated his beauty and their dormant instinct of love of God was awakened. Sisapal saw the Lord also, but he saw him as his enemy and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Sisapal achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in his impersonal glare of his body called the Brahma Jyoti. So that is the understanding that you know, he achieved impersonal liberation. Because of the fact that he was a resident of Vaikuntha, who came there for a special purpose, he was destined to go back to the spiritual world, and therefore they appeared as Jagai Madai and, you know, revived their full Krishna consciousness and went back to Godhead. That's an exceptional circumstance. But otherwise, apart from that, he would have just attained impersonal liberation. At that point, when he was killed, he was a demon. So, now, it describes here that others who were in the marginal position, being neither friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, the Vaikunthas. So the Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavan, and the abodes where his plenary expansions reside are called the Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayan. Love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity, and the entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant, eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. See, that's the important statement there. There are degrees of awakening of love of Godhead. And according to the degree that your love of Godhead is awakened, depends whether you go to Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So Prabhupada explains further. Those whose love of God is awakened to the full extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky. Lord Chaitanya is giving that opportunity. Despite, you know, whatever stage of love of Godhead one may have had, if having fallen from Vaikuntha, Chaitanya says, I'm giving you the opportunity to develop your love of Godhead to the fullest extent. Go back to the Goloka Vrindavan. Now, whereas persons who have just awakened to love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. There's some people associate, there's a little bit of love, there's some attraction, they go to Vaikuntha. Essentially, there is no material difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha, but in the Vaikunthas, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. This love of Godhead is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. A very important point. By the association of pure devotees, you awaken your love of Godhead, and by offense to pure devotees, you start your love of Godhead. That should be understood. Therefore, aparads are never accepted as a part of their path. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjun when he made his onslaught with arrows. So this is interesting. First of all, Arjun is shooting them with arrows, but because he's acting on behalf of the Lord, they're becoming purified just as if the Lord was killing them or, you know, injuring them. So, although the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest, although Arjun's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjun shot an arrow at the enemy, that enemy became purified of all material contaminations and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. Just see the effect of a devotee. They shoot you with an arrow. Yeah, there was a devotee, was it Abhiram? He used to have a whip. He'd whip you. If he was really merciful, if it was a really lucky day, he'd whip you a few times with his whip and you'd immediately develop love of God. Yeah. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had their dormant love of Godhead awakened enough that were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka, not the impersonal state of Brahma Jyoti as was Sisipal. Sisipal died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to the spiritual sky, but those who awakened to love of God were transferred to the planets or the transcendental sky. So there, in that verse, we see that, you know, even to go to Goloka Vrindavan is very rare. To develop pure devotional service is described in the Nectar Devotion. It is extremely rare. It's very, very rare. Even for people who actually attend the temples of Krishna, it's still rare. It's not that everyone's going back to Vrindavan. If they have a Mayavadi mentality, they may get liberation, you know, as a result of their association with ISKCON devotees in the temples. They may go to Vaikuntha. Those who develop their love of Godhead in pure prema bhakti, following in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, are eligible to go back to Goloka Vrindavan and none others. Even Lakshmi, she worshipped Krishna, she wanted to attain Krishna, his association, just as the gopis associated with him. You know why she wasn't successful? Because she didn't follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Her process of devotional service was not following in the footsteps of the gopis. So regardless who one is, unless one follows in the footsteps of the Brajabasis, that is the only process to go, and that means you follow in their footsteps and gradually you attain pure prema bhakti. And the qualification of prema bhakti is that there is not even the trace of the mentality or activity of criticism or offense to Krishna or his devotees. That is a symptom. Therefore, one can't claim to be going back to Goloka Vrindavan if they're still on the platform of Vaishnava Dvaparaya, because the very qualification for going back is prema bhakti, and prema bhakti is characterized by that is completely free of not even the trace of aparad of any variety. And in fact, the difference between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti is that on the platform of bhava bhakti, all one's reactions to sinful activities and material activities in the material world for millions and millions of lifetimes have all gone. Even if someone has committed some mistakes or problems in their devotional life to the Lord, that is eradicated. But until the offences to Vaishnavas has been burned up, they cannot attain prema, and that is the difference. And therefore, it is considered the mad elephant offence. So, once we, take the proper understanding of the purports and be very careful not to, say, Sisipal, he basically just acted any way he pleased with Krishna and his devotees, and it says there, you can still become purified. Yes, that's fine, but, attaining Goloka Vrindavan, not possible. So any other questions? A nice question. Yeah, you become purified by continuing in bhakti yoga. Okay? So therefore you can be confident. Srila Prabhupada describes in many different places that, if one has committed, the ten offences, some of the ten offences, even the Vaishnava aparad, if one, there may be one may have to endure some suffering, but if and one may experience severe obstacles in one's devotional life. But if one continues to chant Hare Krishna regardless, 24 hours a day, Prabhupada said, just keep chanting, keep chanting, keep chanting. Eventually, when Krishna is satisfied, it will guarantee your success. So you just keep serving, and the process of bhakti, as described here, it is that powerful, even that can be purified. The easiest way is if they're, you know, so unintentional, sometimes we don't know. Therefore, it generally pays to be a little careful. And if we keep a humble attitude, we've got less tendency to, you know, commit aparads. The more proud we are, the more likely we are to commit offences. So we keep ourselves in a humble mood, and you pretty much guaranteed you commit, you know, very minor. And if you keep chanting, those are, you know. And if we're always serving the devotees, then if we have committed some, you know, in a nice way, if we have committed some unintentional, we don't even know about it, then because we're always serving them, then they gradually become pleased with this, and within their mind, they're not disturbed. You know, the worst thing is if, you know, there's some aparad, and, it remains unresolved in the fact that, you know, we don't have a nice service attitude generally to the Vaishnava. Generally, you know, devotees are serving the Vaishnava community. All the devotees, unless they're insane, will actually be happy with them. You know? Prabhupada says, only an insane person will be envious of a devotee. So, you know, for normal sane people, generally they don't envy devotees. You know, you have to be a little bit, you know. The devotees have a nice character, and they're performing, you know, purified activities. Even if they have some fault, as Prabhupada says in the Nectar Instruction, in Nectar Devotion, amongst a mountain of good qualities, you know, why would you find some little fault, you know, like that? That's the mentality of a crazy person. So, generally, if a devotee just always chanting and always serving the Vaishnava community, you know, everyone normally will be happy with them, and, you know, like that. So, there's nothing really to worry about. That's what we take from here. You know, don't walk around, you know, as if you're walking around on broken, oh, I might have committed an offence, yeah, let me go back to Vrindavan. You engage in devotional service and you just keep going out and keep the humble attitude, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. That's what Krishna is saying here, like that. But don't take advantage of it in the wrong way. That's also what's being said. Alright, so any other questions or comments? Jai Shri Prabhupada.
Thank you.